Well, good morning. I don't know about you, but I love a new year. It always feels like a fresh start. And although I'm not very good at keeping New Year's resolutions, I do love making them. The definition of a resolution is a firm decision to do or not do something. And I like this intentionality. I recognise that it's good for me every so often to reflect on some of my less desirable traits and resolve to do something about them and live life slightly differently. I think resolutions are good because they give us something to aim for and they give us something to aspire to. They can often give us a bit of a purpose and direction to the way we live out our lives. According to the internet, some of the top resolutions are spending more time with family and friends, changing our eating habits, changing our drinking habits, giving up smoking, getting out of debt, learning something new, helping others, and getting organised. And if you've made a resolution, maybe your resolution will fit into one of those categories. But whether you fit into one of those categories or whether you've come up with something that doesn't, resolutions, generally speaking, are chosen because they're something that benefit ourselves, they benefit others, and sometimes our resolutions will be something that help our relationship with God. This morning, we're going to make a firm decision as to how we relate to one another in terms of the way we think about one another, the way that we talk about one another, and the way that we behave towards one another here at Thornhill Baptist Church. A little bit later in our service, you're going to be invited to say some words which will reflect the kind of community we want to be, a community that reflects the relationship that we have with God. We'll commit to being loving in the way that we think, the way we speak, and the way we behave towards one another. And our motivation is our relationship with God. God thinks well of us. God speaks well of us. God acts well towards us. And because he loves us, it draws out our love for him. And he says, if you love me, then you must pour out your love towards others. And that includes those that we worship with here in this place. But at TBC, we're not calling this Sunday a New Resolution Sunday. We're not calling it our Good Intentions Sunday. We're not even calling it our Firm Decision Sunday. We're calling it a Covenant Sunday. And I want to spend a few moments talking about what covenant means to us as 21st century Christians. A covenant is a binding agreement between two parties. Its most legal form is that of a contract. But it's better defined as a loyal commitment between two people or two groups of people. And one of the most common covenants is that of marriage. It's something that breaks down if the relationship is nothing more than a contractual arrangement. I love conducting weddings, and whenever I take a wedding, I will always say, marriage is a way of life that all should honour. It mustn't be undertaken carelessly, lightly, or selfishly, but reverently, responsibly, and after serious thought. And I don't know about you, but I always think that those words are a little bit old-fashioned. They almost sound as though they're something that comes out of the Old Testament. But actually, if we lived in Old Testament times, we wouldn't need to be saying any of that about a covenant arrangement. Everyone knew that you didn't enter into a covenant lightly. The word covenant comes from a Hebrew word which means to cut. And when a pact or an agreement was made, there was a covenant ceremony. This involved animals being cut in half, and the two halves of the animals being laid opposite each other with a gap in between. And the weaker covenant-making party would walk through that gap between those two animals, saying out loud what they were agreeing to. And the purpose of that ceremony was simple. They were saying, may I be cut into pieces like these animals if I don't keep my promise or my promises as I've stated in this covenant agreement. If the covenant was broken, then the party who'd broken the covenant might get cut up, just like the animals. And the party that had been wronged would walk through the cut up pieces. They'd walk through the blood that was between. And they, in doing that, would be declared the right party. They would be declared right. And they were also set free from any other, from that covenant relationship. And they were released to enter into a new covenant relationship. And in fact, this was the only way somebody could be released from a covenant relationship. Death in itself didn't break the covenant. And so if you died naturally, the covenant that you had made was passed on to your children and was passed on even to your children's children. And so you would rather die than break a covenant agreement. This covenant ceremony was known as blood covenant, and it was sometimes called cutting a covenant. And there are loads of examples of these kind of covenants going on in the Old Testament. But in Genesis 15, we find a cutting ceremony with a difference. It's the story of Abraham where God chooses to bless him and tell him that this father, he'd got no children, he was a father of none. He was going to become a father of a family that was so big. It was suggested that he went out and looked at the night sky, looked at the stars, and that gave him some idea as to how big his family was going to be. And God then said, Abraham, this family of yours is going to bless the world. And remarkable though this promise was, Abraham believed God. And the Bible says his faith made Abraham right with God. But nevertheless, God asked Abraham to set up a cutting ceremony so that God's promise would be seen and known as being a covenant one. It made clear that the promise that God was making to Abraham would be carried on down through his descendants. The story becomes really interesting when Abraham falls asleep. The animal pieces are laid out, and scripture tells us that God puts Abraham into a deep sleep after he'd prepared the cut animals. The Bible then says, when the sun was down and it was dark, a smoking firepot and a flaming torch moved between the split carcasses. That's when God made a covenant with Abraham. I'm giving this land to your children from the Nile River in Egypt to the river Euphrates in Assyria, the country of the Kenites, Kenizzites, Kadmonites, Hittites, Perizzites, Rephaim, Amorites, Canaanites, and Girgashites. I keep wanting to call them Gigabites, and I'm so sorry. And the Jebusites. Try to get it right. Abraham, or Abram as he was then, as the weaker party, should have been the one that walked through those carcasses. But instead, God took on the role of the weaker party. And as God walked through those carcasses, he was saying he would accept the penalty if the covenant got broken. And he did this because he knew that the covenant would, in fact, become broken. In a later covenant that God gives through Moses, God said that he would bless the people if they listened to him and kept his covenant. but they would be cursed if they disregarded it. And despite the clarity of that later covenant, instead of the people choosing to live blessed by God, by loving him and trusting him in word and in deed and honouring him in the way that they lived out their life, they still turned their back on him. They failed to keep the commandments that God gave at Mount Sinai, and they failed to live as the people loved by God. So centuries after this, God cut a new covenant. Centuries after God cut a covenant with Abraham and confirmed it through Moses, he promised a new covenant through the prophet Jeremiah. And he said this: "The time is coming when I will make a brand new covenant with Israel and Judah. It won't be a repeat of the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took their hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. They broke that covenant, even though I did my part as their master. This is the brand new covenant that I will make with Israel when the time comes. I will put my law within them, write it on their hearts, and be their God. And they will be my people. They'll no longer go around setting up schools to teach each other about God. They'll know me firsthand. The dull and the bright, the smart and the slow. I'll wipe the slate clean for each of them. I'll forget they ever sinned." And this brand new covenant that God promised in Jeremiah's day is the new covenant that Jesus spoke of when he had a meal with his friends the night before he was crucified. Matthew, one of Jesus' disciples, says, "During the meal, Jesus took and blessed the bread. He broke it and he gave it to his disciples. 'Take, eat, this is my body.' Taking the cup and thanking God, he gave it to them. 'Drink this, all of you. This is my blood, God's new covenant, poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." And as Jesus's friends heard Jesus talking about blood and new covenant and the forgiveness of sins, it would have got their full attention. It would have arrested them, because they had been waiting for this new covenant for centuries. But this was something dramatically new. Never before had God made a covenant using human blood. This was a covenant that was made in a way that was forbidden by the old, because God didn't allow human sacrifice. Covenants always used blood of an animal. A few hours later, Jesus was hanging on a cross, crying out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And he breathed his last breath and he died. And with that, the temple curtain was ripped in two from top to bottom to symbolize that we now all have access to God. In Abraham's day, God walked through the carcasses, taking responsibility for his covenant, which he knew would be broken. He fulfilled this responsibility when Jesus' body was broken and his blood was shed. He fulfilled this responsibility so that we, as it were, could walk through Christ's blood and be found right before God. Don't we worship an amazing God? What an amazing covenant-keeping God. Jeremiah spoke of this coming day when God would wipe the slate clean and he would forget we ever sinned. And God spoke through the prophet Ezekiel about a new covenant in a similar way when he said, "I'll give you a new heart, and I'll put a new spirit in you. I'll remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I'll put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. What a gift. A new heart, a new spirit, the Holy Spirit living in us to teach us how to live well because we are now right with God. A clean slate, a fresh start. This new relational covenant with God is based on hearts turned by faith towards Him. And yet, although this covenant is new, it is also as old as the very beginning of time itself. Because as the Bible says, God's purpose to save us and to call us into His grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. I say it again, what an amazing covenant-keeping God we worship. And this surely should affect the way we live, how we think, how we speak, and how we behave towards one another should be a thankful, celebratory response to what God has done. So this morning, we remember what it means to be right with God. Let's reflect on what it means to be right with one another here as a worshiping community together. Let's respond positively to the covenant invitation today, an invitation to make a firm decision to think well of each other, to speak well of and about each other, and to behave towards each other in ways that honour and love and respect. And we can do this willingly and joyfully, knowing that in our intention, if we get a mess up, if we fail in these intentions, we don't need to pay with our blood. But humbly and thankfully, we can know that Jesus has covered our lives with His blood. So as we prepare to respond to our covenant invitation, can I invite you to pray? This morning might be the first time that you've heard that you can be right with God, and you want that new heart. You want that new spirit. You want God's holy presence within you. This morning you might have heard what Jesus has done in a new and a fresh way, and you might want this to impact your life differently from this day on. This morning you might be struggling to believe that you are right with God, that He could forgive you for what you've done. Let's reflect on what an amazing covenant-keeping God we worship. Jesus, we thank You for the new covenant, which means that we can be right with You and before God. Thank You that You have given us a new heart and Your Holy Spirit lives in us. Lord Jesus, would You help us to understand more deeply the truth of this? Lord, would You give us a fresh revelation of what it means to live as new covenant people in relationship with You? And Lord, would You show us how to live this out in our daily relationship with others? Lord, as our hearts turn towards You in faith, would You come to us by Your Holy Spirit? Would You give us confidence in what Jesus has done so that we might know peace? Lord Jesus, we commit our lives to You for the first time and for the 100th time. Because You walk with us, we commit to walk well with one another. And we pray this, Lord, for Your sake, Jesus. Amen.